And I just want to pray before I start this morning. Father, we want to thank you that we can be together. Father, we thank you for this family time. Thank you, Lord, we can celebrate your goodness. We welcome you here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. And I know, Father God, you want to come and minister to hearts this morning. Father, you want us to encounter you, God. So we thank you for your presence. Lord, we come with an expectation, God, to hear from you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through me this morning. I pray that these words will penetrate hearts. And Father, Lord, bring a new hope, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen. Well, I'm excited to start, we're kind of getting to the end of our series, our hero series, and I really hope that you've been enjoying this. And, you know, the hero series comes from a book of Hebrews 11. And so we've been looking at some amazing men of women. And, you know, we've looked at some heroes and also sheroes, okay? And there's a few, there's two sheroes. And so I'm just excited to continue this series. And I really pray, my prayer is that you'll really connect with some truth this morning. Because there's some truth in this story. What I'm going to share with you this morning, I really believe God wants to give us a new understanding of His nature, of His heart towards us as His children. And He's called us to do some extraordinary things. You know, we've heard through this series that God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things for Him. And I believe that, you know, God is just calling people to Himself and giving them the ability and the power to do some great things on this earth. Because He says in His Word, it's not by might nor by power, but by His Holy Spirit. How many of you need His Spirit? How many of you need His Spirit in your life? There's things that we cannot do without the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us. He's the wonderful enabler. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you from Hebrews 11. As I said, I'm going to share with you about a shero. And this shero's name is Rahab. How many of you have heard about Rahab? What a wonderful woman. We're going to discover in a moment of how God used this woman, one of the most unlikeliest of women, persons, people in the Word. And so, you know, we see here now, we're going to take you back, just to give you a bit of a background. This is now Joshua. Moses is dead. Joshua is leading the Israelites. And just as they're about to enter into Canaan, there was a bit of a problem, okay? There was a bit of an obstacle, and this obstacle was Jericho. Now, many of you have been to Israel. We'll be actually taking a team there next year. I'm very excited. But I've been around Jericho. I've not been in Jericho. This is going to be a wonderful time just to kind of give me a bit of context and understanding of what this amazing woman, Rahab, experienced in her life. And so I'm going to, if you've got your Bibles here this morning, I'm going to read from Joshua 2. And as I said, they have come to this place. Joshua now, after being 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, finally they're coming to this place that they're about to enter into this promised land. God gave them a promise. And to get to this promise, they had to go through 40 years, okay? They've been and wandering around. And so now Joshua is standing at the end of this 40 years and looking at this city, Jericho. Now, Jericho is a city with walls. We can discover it is a fortified city occupied by the Canaanites. So God has given a promise to get into Jericho, and He's going to conquer Jericho, and He's going to bring the Israelites into the promised land. What a wonderful moment. So Joshua 2, let's read together from Joshua 2 here. And it says here, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim. What a name for a town. As spies. Here's a biblical born ultimatum moment, okay? Spies. How many of you love spy movies? You know, there's I just love watching Bourne. How many Bourne fans here this morning? Come on. Bourne, it's such a wonderful series. I love the Bourne ultimatum. And so here's some spies, real spies that Joshua is going to send in. Now remember, he sent out 12. He's come to his senses. He said, I'm going to send in two. And so these two spies were sent in to Jericho. And it says here, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and they came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the men who come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the forts. And the gate was shut, and soon as the pursuers had gone out. What a courageous woman. Now, you've got to remember, Rahab was a Canaanite. She was a woman that, as we heard, did not have a very good reputation. She was an harlot. What does harlot mean? It means a harlot, okay? She was a prostitute, or what you want to call a hooker. Somebody that lives in the city and provides pleasure to these men. And so she was known. She had a reputation in this city. Men will come to her for pleasure. And I'm sure, you know, she's experienced a lot of rejection in this city. You know, men will walk past her, making sure that other people don't see her actually looking at Rahab and see that there's any relationship there. And, you know, just to give you a bit of context, you know, as a prostitute, I've just heard a statistic this week that 90% of prostitutes, you know, women that are on prostitution do not want to be in that position. Many against their own will, out of desperation, and they are enslaved. So you see this woman in bondage in Jericho. And then there's a moment where these spies come in and she extends this help to these spies. I believe that there was a deep cry that came from this woman within these walls. A cry of desperation. And we find here in the scripture as well, as we continue here, that there was a moment that she heard about the things that God did for the Israelites, how God brought them out of Egypt, and how God made a way for them to cross over. And that's what a Hebrew is. A Hebrew means to cross over. And so she desired that. There was something that she heard that she wanted in. You know, she was obviously in a crisis. Her life, she knew that the spies are coming. They're here to destroy. They're here to take captive this city. And, you know, I believe there's two things. There's two things that she brought. I've entitled this message this morning, Not the Girl She Used to Be. And we're going to just see how God changes this woman's life. You know, one of the things that she brought was sin, okay? So there was sin in her life. Let's be honest, she was a prostitute. The things that she was doing was not right. And, you know, the amount of marriages that she was breaking up in the city and we know what sin means, friends, means it's missing the mark. So she was missing the mark. That was her culture. Maybe she was caught up in prostitution and you know, just, you don't know, trafficked. We just don't know all the background about Rahab. But here's a woman desperate for help. And I'm sure she wanted to change her occupation. Frustrated being in this place. Just think about the shame that she carried on a daily basis, knowing what she was doing was wrong. And I believe there was a conviction and a desire to change. And that's one of the things that she desired in her life, is to change. And then secondly, she brought faith. And it says here in Hebrews 11:31, it says, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. This was a risky moment. This was a woman just putting her faith into action there. She didn't know these spies. She's heard about the spies and they're coming in and she's putting her whole family and herself in danger. Welcoming them in to her home. That is a bit risky. But I love what it says here in verse 8. I'm going to read here. It says, before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Och, who you devoted to destruction. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit, left in any man before you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. There's something that she saw, friends. There's something that she heard. She heard about God's goodness. She heard about God's deliverance. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. And I believe she heard about the news. And the news was spreading among the city. The news was available to everybody. But this woman in desperation got hold of this news and she believed. She believed, and faith comes by hearing. And I believe that the word says that it is impossible to please God without faith. In her response, she's responding in faith. And believing, and said, I'm going to take these men out. These are men sent by God to rescue my family. I love this. Isn't it wonderful how God pursues us? Isn't it wonderful that he does not leave us in the state that we are in? He comes to us. As the scripture says, he will not leave us as orphans. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I just love that. God doesn't leave this woman in the state that she's in. God sees her brokenness. God sees her despair. And he's saying to her, you know what, Rahab, I've got so much more for you. And I'm going to send these men. They're going to rescue. And I just love how God was just pleased with her response. The way she responded. She could have rejected these spies, like all the other people in the city. But she said, come in. And she hid them. She put them up in the roof. Now we know that she was a sinful woman. She was lying. I mean, she was telling the guards, you know, no, they've gone. They're not here. I'm just wondering, if you're in that situation, what will you do, Christian? You know, it's a desperate situation. And so God was pleased with her faith. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Very simple. I believe this woman was on her knees. She was crying out for help. She did not get the help within those walls. And she says here, I love this part. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. And then she says this. This is so beautiful. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth below. She declared with her own mouth that He is God. She put her trust. Now, at the time, the Canaanites were worshiping other idols and other gods. There was a lot of fertility stuff happening, cults and all these sacrifices happening, Baal worship. And this is the God that saves, and I'm going to put my trust in this God. There was a salvation moment there, a declaration. And she said, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab heard, and God answered her prayer. Those men could have gone to any other home. You know, her home, actually, interesting enough, and it says that she lived in, her home was in the outer wall. It was in the wall, built into the wall of this city. Now, it was very accessible for men. Okay, everybody knew about this home. And it's interesting, the spies went to her home, thinking that nobody would actually find them or go there. But God heard her cry. God says here, God rescued her. This is what God is doing. Constantly, God is pursuing people. I've heard just some of the most amazing stories of how God is pursuing people in this time. People out of desperation. And, you know, we've met a lot of my Iranian friends and just heard some of the stories. We've got Mahmoud here with us. And, you know, just some of the stories of how God has been pursuing them in this place of desperation. In a walled city and in a place where there's fear, there's despair. And how God is encountering, how they're encountering the living God. They've heard about this God. Somehow there's a Bible that was brought into that nation, and they got hold of this word, and they're reading about the exploits and the amazing provision of God. And they're like, I want this. I want this. And they start crying out to God and praying. And they've had some incredible encounters with Jesus. Friends, you must hear the stories of how people have been encountering Jesus. And how they're coming to know Him and just getting understanding of His kingdom. And how God brings them out of a place of despair into a place of delight. That excites me. That's why we go as every nation, by the way. He said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And so we're just hearing, what is God saying? What is God saying? Lord, where do you want us to go? Send me, Lord, send me. And God put the nation of Albania in our hearts. And I just know as we're going to go to that city, God is going to connect us with some desperate people, desperate children that's coming out of homes where there's bondage. And so God is, His heart is always, He wants to pursue. May that become our hearts. Is to go after the poor, go after the needy. Hearing, what is God saying? Somebody is crying out for help somewhere. And then we see God restores her. This woman had a radical encounter with God's grace. This is God's amazing grace. This is what He says in 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Friend, what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is something we receive. We don't deserve it, but we just get it anyway. That's how God works in our lives. You know, just think about it. Those spies came to her home and she's like, you know, I don't deserve this. Don't come in. I'm not worthy of you being here. But she saw God's grace. In faith, she received. She said, and she opened up. She said, come in. And that's how we respond to the gospel. That's the good news. We open our hearts. We open the door of our hearts and said, Lord, I receive that. I receive it. Grace is a gift. It's a gift from God to us. And I love what this story, if you want to look at this story, it really talks about that, you know, God is the God of second chances, friends. I've experienced it in my own life. Things that I've done in the past, how I've messed up. And I believe God is the God, not of the second, but for some of you, third, fourth. Amen? You've experienced God's grace. You know what God's grace is all about. And He surely is this God of second chances. Here's a woman that is caught in adultery. Just, you know, the things that she's experienced in her life. The division that she's brought. But yet God said, I'm pursuing her. Because why? What God sees when He looks at us and He looks at this woman, what does He see? He sees purpose and He sees destiny. Sometimes the things that we see is sin. We get stuck there. And what sin does is, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in church today. I've spoken to people. They said, you know, I always, when I go to church, I always feel guilty. I feel shameful. And isn't it how the enemy just reminds us constantly of yesterday's sin over and over and over? But this woman knew. She had a revelation of just God's grace. Rahab's story illustrates that God's purpose for our lives are not limited to our present and our past failures. And that's what He does. He sees the purpose in our lives. And that's what I'm praying for. When I meet with people and wherever they are in prison, I've been to a prisoner and, you know, so easily you can just get just caught up and, you know, with what they've done. You know, they've obviously committed the sin. And my prayer is that we will just look beyond that and just see what God sees. See the purpose. See the gold in them. And that's what God saw. And we're going to find out why. Why would He pursue this woman? I believe there is no sin too great for God's forgiveness. There's no sin too great for God's forgiveness. Our past sin no longer defines us. That's what the sin wants to do. You know, if you think about Rahab, she's walking in the city and there's like these labels all over her. Let's just find those labels. All these labels. That's how people have labeled her. You'll always be Rahab the harlot. Oh yeah, Rahab the harlot. I don't think one day we're going to be in heaven. It's like, oh yeah, there's Rahab the harlot. You know, or that's, you know, it's amazing how God just removed these labels. And that's how the world labels you. But when God starts to label you, He puts and He tells you who you are. You're a new creation. That's what God does. He gives you a new heart. As some of you knew me 20 years ago, we'll be in a different story. But that's what God does. He gives you a new heart. And that's what He did with Rahab. As she got into knowing His nature and His love and His grace, there's things that God lifted off her heart. There was a change of mind. God renewed her. And so, friends, these things of your past, do not let it allow it to define you Whatever you've done in your past, do not let it define you, who you are. Because if you understand that you're a son, you're a daughter of the utmost high God, and what he's done, it changes your perspective. It changes your mind, your heart. You don't walk around like an orphan, like a prostitute, like a sinner. You walk as a son. And that's what it's all about. That's what redemption is all about. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He came to redeem us, to rescue us, and to remove, to wash away that past, that filthy past. And so when he looks at you, he sees purpose. And so we get stuck there. There's things that wants to block us. There's things that we wants to say to you, you're not worthy. Come on, seriously. Look at your past. Look where you come from. Look at your parents. Look at the country you come from. There's no hope for you. That could have easily been Rahab's mindset. There's that Jericho mindset, the culture that has shaped her thinking. But God just took her out of that place. And I feel like God wants to take you, some of us, out of places and situations. He wants to break into your world. That's what grace does, the gospel does. It breaks in through all these barriers and labels. And it removes you from that place and said, come, my son, come, my daughter. Come walk with me. Come walk with the Father. Let me show you who you are. This is not your purpose. So he repositions her. I just love that. And I want to say to you, ask you the question this morning, friend, what is holding you back? Maybe you feel stuck among these walls, inside of these walls. Okay, we are in a walled city, if you've noticed. But I know in this city, there's people that are stuck, like Rahab, are in a place of desperation and need. And they're crying out for God. And what God wants to do is to send out some spies. What I mean is with us, as ministers of reconciliation, he wants to use us as his sons and daughters, as we get a revelation of his grace and his love. He's calling us into some places in this city. He's calling us into some Jerichos in this city. Friends, we don't have to go to Israel. Jericho's there, okay? God has dealt with Jericho, but he wants to deal with some Jerichos here. Amen? There's some things that he's called you on. There's an assignment that we have in this city and in the nations. But I want to say to you, what is holding you back? What is preventing you? Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it condemnations? I believe those are the typical isolators. Rahab could have just stayed there in that place, isolated. But can we dare just open that door? Can we open that door to grace this morning? Can we open that door to hope this morning? Can we open our hearts and say, Lord, take me out of this place? I don't mean take you out of Belfast, okay? Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. But in that place, wherever you find yourself, friend, wherever you feel stuck in this season, I'm going to say this to you, that because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Some of you need to hear it this morning. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation will not limit you. And we're going to ask God to lift some things off us this morning, any condemnation. And in Isaiah 43, 18 to 19, and this is something that I meditated on for years. And it's such a wonderful reminder. It says here, forget, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, nor consider the things of old. See, I'm doing a new thing. Okay, new thing. It's not past tense. It's now. God wants to do a new thing in your life. But somehow the enemy wants to drag us back to our Jericho. He wants to drag us back to our Egypt or whatever that looks like. And he makes you just focus on the former things. Look at you. You're not educated enough. You're not qualified enough. Look at you. Look where you come from. Remember what you did way back then? You know, you hear these voices reminding us. We're going to leave some. God's just going to remove again those former things. And that's where we come. We come to that place. I believe that Rahab was repented before God. What repentance means is a change of direction. It's turning from sin and then walking towards God, embracing God, receiving from God. It's repenting. It's coming to a place where you feel sorrow. And I mean godly sorrow. You feel sorry of things that you've done in the past. And I believe Rahab came to that place. She was sorry about things that she's done. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Change your mind in the way you think. And it's making a willful decision. And saying, Lord, I'm making this step. I want all that you have for me. Help me not to live like an orphan. Help me not to live in the former ways. Come and change my mind, my thinking. I've given you my heart, but I'm giving you my mind as well. Help me in my mind, in the way I think. God's plan for Rahab's life was far greater than her past failures, friends. Just look at what came. If you think, have a look at this. This is what came from Rahab. Why was God pursuing Rahab? She then, when she gave her life to God, she said, I'm putting my trust in the God of Israel. She met Salmon. Okay, Salmon was an Israelite. Now she was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite. So she was then grafted in. She married Salmon. From Salmon that marriage came Boaz. How many of you know the story of Boaz? Boaz and Ruth. And then from Ruth and Boaz came Obed. And then from Obed there was Jesse. And we know that David's father was Jesse, who came from David. Jesus, Savior. Isn't it amazing? The story of redemption, a prostitute rescued by God. Eventually, she have produced the lineage of Jesus. That's amazing. That's a wow moment right there. That's what God does. He uses the ordinary things in this world, friends. The most unlikeliest of people. The lowest of the low in a city. And he said, I love you. I've got purpose for you. I've got a plan for you. Come, follow me. Follow me and I'll make you. I'll change you. That's what our Savior does. He's amazing, isn't he? I just want to end off with this. This is some amazing people, and this is some of my heroes, okay? I've mentioned a lot of heroes in Hebrews 11, but these are some friends of mine in South Africa. And when they got a revelation of God's grace and, you know, the mission that God's called them to do, and how God rescued them from these impossible desperate situations, and they called them into, God called them into a little Jericho down the road in South Africa. I was there 3 and 4 weeks ago, went past that and just saw what God did. You know, God called them into the squatter camp. I mean, you know, you've got these shanty towns everywhere, desperation, poverty, you know, and so God just told them, go and move in the middle of that place. Okay, God didn't call them in as spies. They just went in there into that city with the mission and just to love people and to bring change. And so through just the relationships that they've formed, literally they have this orphanage now with hundreds of kids. And, you know, they've seen some of the people. I mean, I remember they took me on a little tour there, and they introduced me to this man. And the man's name was Diamonds, because he's still carrying a bit of a label there, but he smuggled with diamonds, right? So he spent most of his time in jail. But, you know, just seeing what God has done in his life. I remember standing with him, and I could see the love coming out of his eyes. And how God changed and transformed this man's heart. And the things that he's done. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I just love how he also had this revelation of grace. And how God just cleansed him. And now he's serving a purpose. He's serving his own people. He's telling the people to stay off drugs and, you know, reaching out to the youth. And I love this. And, you know, they've just adopted all these kids. They've got two of their own, you know, and they just have this long list. And how these kids have now received a third-level education, how they've been through school, and how they're succeeding and excelling in academics, in sports, becoming leaders in their communities. Isn't it amazing? And these kids, most of them were dropped off in shoeboxes in front of their house. Some of them still had the umbilical cord on. And now they are doing just incredible things with their youth. And I just love that, friends. How God sends us into these places of needs. And I'm sure, you know, these kids can relate to Rahab, have been to a place of desperation. I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want my mommy to be a prostitute. I don't want to be there. And I love that story and how Rahab said, please, just, you know, it wasn't a selfish decision. She could have said, save me, I'm out of here. But she said, can you save my family? I want my family, please, when you come in, just keep my family. Look after my family. And they made a promise. These two spies made a promise. They had a little scarlet, little string, red string hanging from this home, the window that she released them from. When they came, there's this string, red string hanging there. And I just believe that's the hand of God. You know, talks about, you know, the blood, the red, you know, wave. We go way back in the Old Testament, you know, about the Israelites and how God spoke to Moses and said, you know, I want you to, anoint the doorpost with blood. Because as that spirit of death comes, it will not enter in, it will pass over. And so God preserved this family, because from that place they said, Lord, save me. I'm putting my trust in the God of Israel. That's our God. That's the God we served. And some of you know a bit about my story. You know, many, many years ago, about 35 years ago, we were in a similar situation in our home. My parents were just at the brink of divorce. I still remember it so well. And, you know, the things that happened in our house is, just a lot of, like, pain And so what God did is he sent this amazing woman. You know, it was an amazing woman that came and that worked in our home, you know, and did our washing, and she cleaned and, you know, just served us. And she came with this beautiful heart. And we didn't know, but she was a lovely born-again Christian. And I remember she would walk through the house and praying this funny language. And, you know, I would be stuck on her back and, you know, and she was just praying, interceding for our family. She would sit down with my mom and said, you know, I just see you, but down, can I pray for you? She started praying for my mom, started praying for us, my family. And I, because of that woman, Anna, our family came to know God. 35 years ago. And I just love how God is just sending people in on a mission to bring restoration, to play their part. Can we be one of those? Can we say, yes, Lord, send us? Stand with me this morning. And Lenny, if you guys can come up, the worship team, I'm just going to end off in prayer. God, friends, it doesn't matter where you are at this moment, God is pursuing us. I just felt it this morning. God is so mindful of what you're going through right now in this season of your life. He's not going to leave you in the state that you're in. That's just the nature of God. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Where is God? He's with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. His presence are here. So I just want you to pray with me. Just want you to invite, like Rahab invited those spies. And I just say again, Holy Spirit, I just invite you. I just invite you. I open the door of my heart and I say, here I am. Just say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Father, I thank you that this morning for this word, this message. Father, I pray that you seal it in our hearts. And I thank you for the story of redemption, of how you brought such healing and restoration to this woman, Rahab, Father. We thank you, God, that you're more interested in our future than our past and our present. Lord, I thank you, God, that you change. You make all things new. And Father, I know that there's people here that's struggling with things of the past. Lord, that where they have fallen into for temptation, Lord, where they've sinned and they've missed the mark. God, where they're carrying guilt, where they're carrying shame, where they're struggling to get rid of the former things, the things of Jericho, Lord. And Lord, you know what our Jerichos look like. But I just pray and ask you this morning that you come and break walls around us, that you come and remove limitations off us, that you come and remove, Lord, strongholds, God, things that binds us, Lord, to the past, Lord. I thank you, God, Lord, for your resurrection power that is here today, God. I thank you, Jesus, as Rahab cry out to God in that moment, Lord, that you hear our prayer and our cry, God. And Lord, we also just see so much pain around us, God. Lord, we don't have to go far to find a Jericho. Lord, we see Jerichos in our city, Father. We see people enslaved, in bondage, in a place, Lord, of despair. And Lord, we just say, Lord, if we have experienced your grace, as we've experienced your love, Lord, as we have received, Lord, we want to give. So Lord, we say, Lord, send us. Lord, even in this week, I pray, God, that you'll send us into neighbors' homes, Lord God, and Lord, reaching out to people in pain. Where is a hospital, Lord God, a school, a university campus, wherever it is. Father, we say, Lord, use us. We pray that your kingdom come, Lord. Thank you, God, that we have a part to play in bringing healing and restoration. Make us sensitive, God, to the needs of people in this city, in Jesus' name. Lord, we love how Rahab wasn't self-centered. She wasn't just focused on her needs. She just said, Lord, save me and my family, Father. And Lord, we pray even specifically for families today, Lord. And I want to declare it that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe some of you have been praying that prayer. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, that our families will not miss out on your grace, on your love. God, we pray for them this morning. We pray that they will experience that in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the restoration that you're bringing in Jesus' name. And Lord, even, Lord, where some of us, we are caught up in sin and we're struggling. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that your grace is sufficient for us. And also, God, your word says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we even come this morning, we repent of sin. Lord, we've missed the mark, Father, where we've willfully sinned against you, God. Lord, we repent. We confess our sin to you or one another. And we just say, Lord, come. In Jesus' name. Come and set us free, God. Habitual sins, patterns, Father, in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving us just a new name, calling us sons and daughters, Father. We just love you, Father God, for who you are. That you love us so much, that you will not leave us in this condition that we're in. That you want what's best for us. When you look at us, Lord, you see purpose, and you see destiny. You don't see how the world sees. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Friends, I want to just also just give the opportunity just for people to receive prayer as well. And I know that God has spoken to some of you this morning through this word, through this message. And we want to pray with you. Take this opportunity. It's like Rahab took that step. She took that step and she opened up. And I want you just to encourage you, take that step. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just saying, you know, we've got some of our leaders here, some of our people. Just reach out to somebody today and say, you know what? I need prayer. Doesn't matter what, you know, what you're going through right now. Just reach out to somebody this morning.